Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guest.
Thank you, Sarah. This is Joel Bruckenstein, and I'm here to talk about the results of the most recent T3 Inside Information Annual Software Survey. As many of you know, I've been surveying advisors about their technology use since at least 2008, and over the last several years, I've partnered with Bob Verres and Inside Information to provide you with the best overview of how advisors use technology in a personal financial planning practice. In our most recent survey, we surveyed over 5,600 participants, and of those, we came out with about 5,175 responses that we judged to be valid. Unfortunately, there's always some people who think it's funny or amusing to try and mess with our statistical collection, but we've so far managed to, shall we say, filter out some of the noise. So with this large sample size, which to my knowledge is the largest in the business, we're able to get a pretty good view of what's going on in the industry. Before we get into some of the details, I just want to mention what we're really looking for is two things here. Number one is what advisors are using, and number two, how satisfied they are with what they're using. And on the satisfaction scores, what we ask is for everybody to rate their satisfaction on a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being not at all satisfied and 10 being extremely satisfied. Since we know that most of the participants are pretty tough in their scoring, what we found over the years is anything that's rated a 7 or above represents a very high degree of satisfaction, and anything over an 8 is really outstanding and is a raving fan. So with that in mind, let's move on to a few demographics, and then we'll get into the nuts and bolts of the survey. So one of the things we ask folks is, you know, just to get a sense of who's answering the survey, what is your annual revenue size? And what we find is the bulk of the folks who are taking the survey fall into two categories. About 21% are in the 200 to 500,000 range, and another 20.5% are in the $500,000 to $1 million range in revenues. We do get obviously some smaller and some larger. So about 13% of those that respond are under 200,000. That demographic tends to be weighted very heavy towards the XY Planning Network in particular, newer advisors that are typically dealing with younger clients. And, you know, we still have about 12% that are in the $1 to $1.5 million range, about 7% that are $1.5 to $2 million, and about 8% that are in the $2 to $3 million range, and smaller slices, you know, 3%. 3 to 4, a little under 3%, I think, from 4 to 5, and around almost 4% from 5 to 8 million. And we do have about 9% of respondents that have over their firm have over 8 million in annual revenue. The other things we're trying to look at are years of experience, and what's again not a big surprise, just knowing the way that this business skews, is that over 47% of our respondents have over 20 years of experience in the business, and another almost 29% have somewhere between 11 and 20 years of experience. We only have 11% that have between 1 to 5, and about 13% that have 6 to 10 years experience. So again, the vast majority of the folks who are answering the survey are very experienced. They have over 11 years of experience in the business, and many of them have over 20 years of experience. We also look at business model. And almost half of our respondents are fee-only. Another almost half are duly registered. And then we get a small slice, around 6%, that are brokerage wirehouse advisors. So my guess is that for the folks who are listening to this, many of the people who responded to our survey look a lot like you do. One of the categories that we take a good look at, and that has, you know, been growing in a sense over the last several years, is the all-in-one software category. And, you know, when we look at market penetration, there seems to be a big jump here from about 52% to almost 80%. But what we've concluded from looking at the data a little bit closer is many of the people who respond to this category are not using the software platform as really an all-in-one. They're using pieces of it combined with something else. Having said that, we do think there is somewhat of a trend to more and more advisors looking at all-in-one solutions, and the reason is because the conventional wisdom for the most part over the last 10 years has been pick best of breed products. The problem with that is getting these products to talk to each other and fully integrate can be a challenge, particularly for independent RIAs. And so some of them are looking at the trade-off and saying, you know, better rather than having perhaps a best of breed of everything, what's most important is that we have a seamless platform that works well together. And hence, you are seeing some growth in the all-in-one business. And I think a lot of the popular providers in this category are looking to expand horizontally. So, for example, number one in market share, Morningstar Office, with about 30.5% market share versus about 25% last year. The satisfaction ranking is 7.23, which is very high. It's down just a tad from last year. I would say that's statistically meaningless. But Morningstar is, again, trying to expand. They started off, as most of you know, primarily as a data firm. But for the last good number of years, they've offered portfolio management software and also rebalancing software. And now they've also rolled out some what I would call basic financial goal-based financial planning. And I think over the years, you're going to see them expand that a little bit. So that's a trend that bears watching. Second is InvestNet. And if you look at InvestNet and InvestNet Tamarack combined, you're looking actually at the market share leader. InvestNet Tamarack has a very robust platform that includes everything from portfolio management and rebalancing to CRM. And with the addition of MoneyGuide Pro, which InvestNet bought and is now integrating more deeply into the InvestNet Tamarack platform, you really have a very robust solution there. Advisor 360, you know, there's a big drop-off from InvestNet to about a little under 5% for Advisor 360, but they're noteworthy. And a couple of others that are noteworthy in the survey are Advise-On. They only have a 2% market share, but their average rating is just below 8, which is outstanding. And an Advisor Engine is another one that we think is an up-and-comer. We also ask advisors what they're planning on looking at in the coming year, just to see if we can spot any trends early on, you know, potential up-and-comers. And what you see is that the two leaders in what are you thinking about next year are the same leaders on the leaderboard, which would mean Morningstar Office and InvestNet are likely to maintain their lead. But in the number three spot, what people are looking for is Advise-On. So I think as a reflection of their high satisfaction rankings, the word is getting out and more people are starting to consider Advise-On as a good all-in-one solution. When we look at CRM, which clearly is an essential tool, we see that finally, almost every advisor is using some type of CRM. We've been talking about this for years, but this year, roughly 97% of advisors said they're using some type of CRM, and the category average ranking is 6.7, which isn't bad, but the two market leaders are doing much better. The number one market leader by far is Redtail. Redtail has over 150,000 users nationwide. They have a 62% market share, up from 57% last year. And their average user rating is over 8. It's 8.10. So if you look at their market share, the cost, which is very low compared to some of the competitors, and their satisfaction rankings, Redtail, it's not difficult to understand why so many advisors are using a Redtail. Number two, it's a big drop-off down to 7% market share is Wealthbox. Their market share seems to be up just a bit from last year. They also have a good satisfaction ranking. Salesforce, we only surveyed Salesforce Financial Cloud this year, which was our mistake because there's many other versions of Salesforce, including some of the overlays, which we did survey, and we'll get to that in a second. I would just add that we think that one of the reasons that Wealthbox even has the market share that they do is because it's part of the XY Network core offering that you get if you're a member of XY Network. What we're seeing is a lot of the users of Wealthbox have very little AUM, and we believe that for people who are outside of the XY Network who are actually using Wealthbox, their market penetration is actually quite small. The overlays. So one thing I wanted to point out is Concentor Services has one of the many Salesforce overlays. It's called Accelerate. That's XLR8. Their market share is relatively small, but they have a 9.03 average satisfaction ranking, which is one of the highest, if not the highest, in the survey. So even though their market share is not that high, they've consistently scored some of the highest satisfaction rankings. So folks who are looking to potentially use Salesforce might want to look at them as an overlay solution. Anything else we want to talk about here? Let's see. You know, when we look at what are people thinking about potentially having under consideration this year, Salesforce Financial Service Cloud is number one, and that kind of confirms what we are hearing. There's a lot of mid-sized to larger firms that are looking at Salesforce Financial Service Cloud, and number two is Redtail, and number three is Wealthbox as far as what people are looking at. With CRM, we also broke things down a number of other ways. We actually looked at, you know, by years of experience, who's using it, and by revenue, and by business model. And that revealed a couple of things that, again, we think are pretty interesting. You know, the good news for Wealthbox is many of the folks who are using it, the majority of their users, are in the 1 to 5 year experience range. That's substantially higher than their overall average. Redtail is strong across the board. And if you look at Salesforce, they tend to be sort of in the mid-range. It's sort of 6 to 20 years is where their strength is. And also, if you look at revenue numbers, clearly when you get past $5 million in revenue, that's where Salesforce really has their strength, and as would be expected when you get above, let's say, $1 million, $1.5 million in revenue, Wealthbox has very little visibility. As far as fee-only versus dually registered, Redtail is substantially stronger in dually registered than fee-only. They have about a 49% market share in fee-only, versus about a 77% in dual registered. Salesforce is pretty even across the board. And Tamarack InvestNet is also stronger in the fee-only space. Moving on to financial planning software. Again, there's a lot of concentration at the top of the leader list. MoneyGuide Pro, since 2008, when I started doing surveys, has been number one. It's now known as Investment Money Guide. Their market share is about 26%. Their user satisfaction ranking is an outstanding 8.21. And trailing them in the strong number two spot is eMoney Pro with about a 19% market share. And again, a very high user satisfaction ranking of 8.04. One that's been moving up a little bit the last few years is Right Capital. It's a newer company. Their market share is about 5.5%. 7.65, also excellent average satisfaction ranking. What's a little bit surprising here is that market penetration is only about 64% in financial planning. It's up about 0.5% from last year. I expect this needle to move more in the future. There has been a trend throughout the industry to do more financial planning and lead with financial planning over the last several years, and we expect that to accelerate. When we look at what respondents are considering for this year, eMoney number one, Investment Money Guide number two, Right Capital number three. So again, no big surprise there. The other thing that's noteworthy is both eMoney and Money Guide have come out with a much lighter basic program, primarily targeted at millennials or for advisors who are not CFPs but want to start getting their feet wet in financial planning. So that would be My Blocks by Money Guide and its Foundational Planning for eMoney. They both have around a 2%, 3% market share. They're both very new, so we don't have good stats on them yet. But I think you're going to see some real penetration there. And I also think that, not only is this strictly financial planning focused, it's also digital marketing focused. So one of the theories with these newer applications is it's a way to engage prospects in the financial planning process and then sort of, once you've proven your value, graduate them to a fuller level of service as they need it. And I think both of those applications are very well suited for that. If you look at where Money Guide by business model is, it's about 50-50 split between fee-only and duly registered. Right Capital, their strength is in fee-only. And eMoney, slightly tilts to duly registered, but they have a fairly good presence. Well, they have a very good presence in the independent RIA space as well. There's a wide variety of portfolio management tools that are available to advisors. But again, here, I think you see a real dichotomy between what fee-only advisors are doing and what duly registered advisors are doing. The leader, as far as market share, is Allbridge. Allbridge has about a 17.5% market share. Their average ranking is 7.23. That's good. But when you look at them by business model, almost all of their business, quite frankly, is coming from the duly registered and the wirehouses. They have very, very, very little fee-only business. On the other hand, when you look at Morningstar Office, which is 14%, and Orion, which is about 12.5%, in the case of Morningstar, I think the spread is fairly even. And in the case of Orion, while they do have duly registered, they definitely tilt to the independent RIA side today, although they're trying to get more market penetration on the other side of the business. After that, you have Investnet Tamarac, and they're at about 9%, and most of their business is, well, almost all of their business is on the fee-only side, whereas the more traditional Investnet, most of their business is on the duly registered side. The other thing I would point out here is, as I said, there are quite a few choices here, many of them with small market share, but a company like Advizon, again, gets an 8.3 in average satisfaction ranking. Panoramics, which is another smaller firm, with not a ton of market share, approaches a 9. They have an 8.84. So, you know, for firms like that, if what they offer in terms of functionality suits your needs, it seems very clear to me that some of the smaller firms in this space are very much focused on advisor satisfaction and that they're doing a fantastic job, and some of them are relatively inexpensive compared to the market leaders. So depending on what your situation is, firms like Advizon and Panoramics certainly deserve your consideration. Moving on to risk tolerance instruments, Riskalyze is the clear market leader here. They have about a one-third market share, which is amazing since a few years ago they didn't even exist, and their user satisfaction ranking is 7.42. Finimetrica, which was purchased by Morningstar, has been around longer than anybody else in this space, but they've been surpassed over the last several years substantially by Riskalyze. Their market share is about 6.22, although their user satisfaction ranking is on par with Riskalyze. And then you have a number of other firms that are all, I would say, emerging firms with less than 1% market share. But again, some of them have relatively high user satisfaction rankings and are certainly worth taking a look at. Overall, the category penetration here is only about 41%, so the majority of advisory firms still are not using a third-party risk tolerance instrument. And if you look at what people are hoping to buy or considering buying this year, again, Riskalyze by a large margin is number one. When it comes to investment data, Morningstar Advisor Workstation, not surprisingly, by far is number one when it comes to investment data and analytics, with about a 26% market share and high user satisfaction rankings. Again, there are some others that are probably not as widely known, like YCharts and Quanti, that have superb rankings as well. YCharts is around an 8, Quanti's about an 8.5 in user satisfaction ranking. Bloomberg Terminal, for those who need it, is again well over 8.5. And there's a number of other tools which we would encourage you to take a look at, depending on what your needs are. For economic analysis and stress testing, again, Riskalyze is number one. DFA Returns is number two. And Morningstar Direct, which is a more expensive product, but quite a robust one, is number three. They all have very good user satisfaction rankings. Trading and rebalancing. I've said a number of times that free is very popular with advisors, and iRebal, the TD Ameritrade free version of iRebal, is the market share leader. It's got a satisfaction ranking above 8, if that works for you. And if you're a TD client or in the future a Schwab client, once it's integrated with Schwab, which it will be, it's hard to argue with iRebal. If you're an Investnet Tamarac user, they're number two, and they also have an excellent product, as does Orion and Black Diamond. What's somewhat surprising here is that the market share is only about 36.5% overall, up from 34% last year. I find that very disappointing, especially for this group. I think you're all aware of the ability to add tax alpha by doing some tax loss harvesting and taking gains strategically. These are the tools that allow you to do that and to automate a lot of it. And trying to do this manually with a spreadsheet is very expensive, actually, over time, because the amount of time it takes and the amount of human capital required to do this on a manual basis is just ridiculous. Account aggregation, my feeling is that none of these services are perfect, but eMoney gets very high ratings from eMoney users, and they're also the market share leader. You know, you also have BuyAll accounts, Yodlee, and others. My suspicion is that some of the folks who are making use of account aggregation tools through a third party are not even aware that they're using Yodlee, BuyAll accounts, Quovo, which is now part of Plaid, or others. But again, I think this is an essential tool if you really want to get a full view of what your clients are doing and also to automate some services. Market penetration is about 60%. Again, this is a category where market penetration should be close to 100%. We also took a look at online portfolio management tools, so things that are robo-advisor-like or robo-advisors. And InvestNet is number one there. They have about an 8% market penetration, and their user satisfaction rankings are very good. Schwab Intelligent Portfolios is number two. They have about a 4% market share, but their market share seems to be growing. And quite frankly, if you're a Schwab advisor, there's a lot to like about Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. There's a whole list of others, including SEI, LPLs, GWP, Betterman Institutional, Trade PMR, etc. Most of them have smaller market share, and with the exception of Betterman and Trade PMR, somewhat lower user satisfaction rankings. Market penetration is about 22-23%. Again, we expect this to go up over time. Tax planning software should be of interest to this group. You know, our sample size is probably not as large because not all of our advisors that we survey are even using tax planning software. But of those who are, the market leader is BNA, and their satisfaction rankings are very good. Covisium Tax Clarity was number two by market share. Planner CS was next. And the other ones we had on the survey that also did well as far as satisfaction were LifeYield Portfolio Advantage and Tax Planner Pro. A number of advisors use Social Security analysis tools. We think there's a case to be made for that in some instances, although I would argue that for many cases, the comprehensive financial planning tools have upped their game to the point where it's not always necessary to use a specialized tool, but when it is, the number one favorite is SS Analyzer, almost 8% market share, and a 7.87 ranking, which is fantastic. Horse's Mouth has something. That's number two. Maximize My Social Security, Covisium, and LifeYield all had excellent satisfaction rankings, but smaller market shares. Another area that, you know, surprisingly more advisors are not making use of is digital marketing tools. There's only about a 25% market penetration there. FMG Suite is the market leader. They have about a 10% market share and a very acceptable user satisfaction ranking. Broadridge is number two. Snappy Kraken number three, Advisor Stream number four. But market penetration is only about 25%. That needs to go up. The one that seems to be rising the fastest in popularity here, which really sticks out, is Snappy Kraken. So they really seem to be making a mark. Client hosting resources. I want to spend a little time talking about this because I think there's a lot of miscommunication with regard to some of these tools. There's a lot of cloud hosting resources out there that claim they're also cybersecurity solutions. I want to be very clear that they're not. You know, cloud hosting can be part of a cybersecurity solution in the sense that if you have it in a secure cloud host and they have the proper security in place, your data at rest and hopefully in transit, but clearly at rest, will be safe, but there's much more to cybersecurity than a lot of these firms do. And some of them advertise and give the impression that they're doing more than they actually do. Again, it's a very small market penetration here. There's only about 3% of advisors that are using any of these. Right-Size Solutions by a little bit came out on top with regard to market share. Because, quite frankly, they are the most cost-efficient solution. But I would argue that Workplace by OS33, True North, and Integria are ones that I would recommend first. For actual cybersecurity resources, it's a similar story. Looking for cybersecurity resources can be very confusing because there's not one solution that's being marketed to advisors today that is a total all-in-one solution that I know of. So all of these firms can play a role and be one of the tools in your cybersecurity toolbox, but they are by no means a complete solution. So Intrada is the clear market share leader here. They're cost effective. They were purchased recently by Smarsh. They do a good job of what they do, but they don't do everything. True North, again, is not really a cybersecurity solution, in my opinion. It's more of a cloud hosting solution. CleverDome really creates a virtual private network. It's extremely secure. It's a great product, but again, it's part of, not all of, a cybersecurity solution. Probably the closest thing you're going to find to a pure cybersecurity play on this list is FCI, which is formerly Financial Computer. They do not only monitoring, they also do remediation. It's much more of a full-service solution than some of the others. So they cost a little more, but when you're comparing, you know, you have to compare apples to apples. And I would say what FCI offers is very comprehensive. For what they do, I love what CleverDome does. Those are two companies that I highly recommend. Scheduling apps are becoming more popular. Calendly is the leader by far. They have about a 9% market share and our average user ranking of 8.16. Schedule Once is number two. They have about a 3% market share and their satisfaction ranking is just under 8. We're starting to see some growth here. The category market penetration is about 15%. There's a number of password management tools. We see usage of password management tools also going up. About 41% of advisors are currently using them. Our number one recommendation is also the market share leader. It's LastPass with almost a 20% market share and an 8.73 user satisfaction ranking, which is superb. It's always interesting to look at our miscellaneous tools that don't fit into one of the above categories. We see things like CopyTalk, which is, you know, a way to take dictation and capture it. We have AdvicePay, which is a way for advisors to get paid. But two of the top three are these dictation tools, CopyTalk and Mobile Assistant. And it's just interesting to look at the list and see what other types of things that advisors are using. And they go from various insurance platforms to data to all sorts of things, cash management tools, etc. Before I close, I just wanted to also take a minute or two to talk a little bit about what the survey perhaps did not cover. First of all, there's a lot in the survey that I'm not even going to talk about. User satisfaction for things like broker-dealer platforms, custodial platforms, and a number of other areas. So I would encourage you to go either to my website, t3technologyhub.com, or to go to the Inside Information website and download a full copy of the survey for free. But the other thing I want to talk about is that a lot has changed since the end of the year when we compiled the survey. So what's really interesting, and I think that a lot of this will show on next year's survey, is how usage has changed as a result of the pandemic. So, you know, there's a lot of trends that we've spotted that have been a lot more slow-moving, shall we say, than we would like. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that many of the advisors we survey are not technology natives and they're not early adopters. But what we are seeing is that the pandemic has forced many advisory firms to accelerate their technology plans substantially. So while very few of you were doing, for example, virtual meetings on a regular basis, now almost every advisor is. So we'll have some statistics on the upcoming survey with regard to what platforms you're using and how satisfied you are with those platforms. Another thing that struck me as interesting is, although most of the major custodians have had digital onboarding tools for at least a couple of years, digital move money tools, and a number of other tools that can really help you interact better with custodians and do it more efficiently and more safely, market penetration has been relatively low. You know, overall, my sense is that it was around in the 20% range, which means that, you know, as of the end of last year, perhaps one in every five new accounts that was open with a major custodian in this industry was done digitally. And, you know, Move Money may have been a little bit higher, but not much higher. Well, what I'm hearing from the custodians now is that all of those numbers have basically doubled. So, you know, where before you had the choice of doing it the slow way or the more modern way, now, because of the pandemic, in many cases, we're being forced to adopt these new technologies. And I think because of that, we're creating new habits, and I think these habits will stick going forward. And I think it's to the benefit of everybody. Many people have marketed through some, what I would say, are age-old traditional means. That may have been doing seminars, meeting prospects face-to-face, etc. Now, things like digital marketing are definitely coming to the fore. And so the firms that were ahead of the curve on this, I think, are at a real advantage now and perhaps going forward because they already have it in place. They've already figured out how to use it to the greatest effect for their particular firms. And I think that every firm is going to need a robust digital marketing strategy going forward, because even when the pandemic's over, we won't totally revert to the old way of doing things. And so a lot of folks are going to be more comfortable meeting you digitally first if they're not already. What else do I want to talk about before we close? How about most valuable technology? So one of the things we ask advisors is, of all your technologies, you know, which do you find the most valuable? And again, it doesn't come as a surprise to me that CRM is number one. For most people who are on this call, CRM is your hub. It's your data hub. It's where you store all the information about the client, and it's where you manage the relationship. So, you know, the fact that market penetration is very high now means that most advisors have figured out they can't do without CRM. And now I think looking forward, it's going to be optimizing the use of CRM and making sure that whatever CRM application you have is the right one for your firm. Strong number two is financial planning. And again, this doesn't surprise me. I think the real value advisors add to their clients is really helping them achieve their life goals. And in order to do that, you need financial planning software. I don't believe that most advisors add a lot of value on doing investment analytics and managing portfolios. There's not a lot of alpha there. There's some in trading and rebalancing, clearly, because you can achieve some tax alpha. So I don't, you know, totally disregard it. But I don't think most of the folks on this call are able to pick winning portfolios. And so concentrating your time and energy with regard to technology on the things that really improve the client experience and create results for clients are what's most important. So anything around the client experience, and I think that's going to extend to the prospect experience, so digital marketing, digital experience for your client, which to me is something beyond just a quote-unquote client portal, a great mobile experience, great client service, quicker onboarding. All of those kind of things are where you should be looking to improve yourself and invest your money coming forward. On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Joel Bruckenstein, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I highly encourage you to visit the PFP section website to access the full survey report. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you how to find this valuable resource. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit AICPA.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.